Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
To work. Every day, I help organise the savings meetings and weigh children, practising my Spanish on their patient mothers, setting up a hanging scale in a tree to mark the weights on graphs. We distribute seedling trees, lollies for community parties, coloured pencils so that kids can enter URAC's colouring competition. We collect money, loan requests, gifts of chili smeared tacos. Friends from Australia in their letters are constantly asking about the curious cliché of mañana. They have an image of Mexico, and it's a campesino in huarache sandals, poncho and a big sombrero dozing under a cactus tree. Mañana, where nothing ever gets done, where the people are lazy and negligent, where it's impossible to expect punctuality. They visualise Mexico through these hazy filters and imagine us tearing out our hair in frustration at such an intractable mess. I don't think I ever witness a Mexican sleeping during the day. They're all up long before me and don't go to bed till long after I've hit the deck. I'm continually brought up short with the realisation that on almost all levels that require human interaction, this is, contrary to popular belief, a functional economy. The things that work better in Australia are things that do not involve another human. ATMs, computerised road tolls, speed cameras, passport processing, tax returns, telephone connections, registration papers, bills, e-banking, surfing the net. Lock your keys in the car and call the RACV. Follow the voice prompts and quote your ID number for service. You never need to communicate with your garbage men or meter reader or gas bottle replacer. It's efficient, but it feels like it's only slowly dawning on us that there's a price to be paid for these dehumanised processes and systems. You've insisted on complete functionality, so you can't be surprised if it's a machine tinnily assuring you that your call is important, so please hold the line. Here, there's a different, less abstracted way to manage your daily interactions, and I'm constantly surprised at the way it accommodates a degree of anarchy and lack of infrastructure. More than that, it accepts it with tolerance and compromise so that it functions. So the hardware shop is closed for 20 minutes. People will cut you a little slack and come back a bit later. This is the humbling human scale, which is puzzled by your fuming insistence that everything must function at the snap of your fingers to accommodate you. It almost seems embarrassed for you that you have your need for control so needfully revealed. Quién sabe, the people here say all the time, who knows? In surrendering your need to have the future mapped out and organised, you're free to focus instead on the present, constant, sensuous, waiting. When things work out miraculously, it can seem like divine providence. If they don't, nobody will blame you. So relax. The day set out from the east and started walking begins an old Mayan poem. You can feel it too. The sun rising and stretching, setting out, putting one foot in front of the other, taking its time for each day. It makes you walk slower. The infinite possibilities and petty frustrations of this day are oiled and soothed by courtesy, and everything is interrelated. The sun sets out walking, and we are no more in control of our destiny than we are of controlling that trajectory across the sky. Your plans, which seemed so crucial and all-important at first, are postponed or compromised, deferred, revised, even cancelled. You are only incidental to the grand scheme of the day, and if your needs are narrow and self-interested, they're put into perspective. You cast the same size shadow as everybody else. You might as well be gracious about it. Nobody here is going to die of a stress-induced stroke. Nobody's going to lose their temper just because everything doesn't line up according to their demands. Life just doesn't work that way. There's a German guy in town who finds his national attitude so infuriating, he just knows he's going to spit the dummy at the whole country sooner or later. One day in his cafe, he tells me in head-shaking wonderment about an old Otomi woman in the market selling nopalis, prickly pear pads. The indigenous women gather these from wild cacti and scrape them carefully clean of spines to have something to sell. The German guy is having a party, he tells me, and wants to make a big salad. He's approached one woman and asked her how much for her entire stock. She looked up at him, offended. "I can't sell you the whole lot," she said. "Why not?" "Well, what am I going to sell tomorrow?" He's told me this story to illustrate her complete lack of business sense, her mindset which couldn't be further from the Teutonic ideal, the proof of her narrow parochial foolishness. He can't understand why I'm so delighted with her response, or how it symbolises something crucial to her. She is wise, wise, this old lady. She and all the other market sellers with their 8 oranges or 3 baskets of strawberries displayed carefully in front of them understand something about the micro market that the macro market loses sight of, that it's about participation, not just volume or profit. She's got regular customers coming later. She doesn't need to expand. She has enough. Her brain isn't trained for that quick opportunistic grab. It's trained for inclusion, human contact, just being there. A poor town buys itself a 3-story fireworks castle for its fiesta, complete with spinning crowns and the face of Jesus picked out in a fiery portrait as a finale. A woman tells me they've got the specialists in to make it, the pyrotechnicos, who make a living travelling around constructing these and sometimes climb up to shake a circuit free while the castle is exploding and spinning all around them. She says everyone in the town contributes money for the castle and for the rides, the music and food for the fiesta. She shows me the list, and it's a lot of money. "Why?" I ask. And how readily these prescriptive words fall from my mouth. Why do they squander money on fireworks instead of putting it aside for seed for next year's crops or saving it for emergencies? "Why?" she says, and shrugs. "Well, just for the beauty of it." "But it's all over in 5 minutes," I say. "All gone." "Yes," she says with a smile. "But you're here, aren't you?" Later, the castle goes off spectacularly, smoke rising like incense to the sky, the holy crown spinning and shooting into space. Everyone cheers and applauds as it sinks slowly into twinkling lights, then breathing darkness. Everyone's face is wreathed pacifically in smiles, momentarily transformed just by the beauty of it. It's a religious offering, a tribute to heaven, a gift. Shut up about waste of money, debt, statistics, next year's fertiliser. Can't sabi about next year. Seize this moment. You're here, aren't you? Mañana is a quality, not a deadline. It signifies that no time can be placed on when something is going to occur. Your photos will be ready mañana, at the time photos are ready. If I was to try to control fate and pin it down to a specific time, we'd both be disappointed and embarrassed when you return with high expectations of their readiness. Such a thing cannot be guaranteed. Let's just play it safe with mañana. The future tense, which I have not yet mastered, is a slippery thing. A whole tense is designed to express the ephemeral nature of what might happen. A very wary tense indeed. For example, it seems impossible to make a definite statement like, "I believe things will change." The tense you must use edges around the fact, allowing you only to suggest hesitantly, "I hope things might change," in much the same way you might say, "I hope my photos might be ready someday." At the post office, the 2 clocks each tell a different time. I have some letters for Australia. "Australia? Es Europa, no?" "No, es the South Pacific." The postal worker looks suspicious as I assert this, as if I'm Columbus, claiming the existence of a fabled land to the south. Her eyes fall on my letters. Uh-huh. I need some larger envelopes, it seems. "Does the post office have any for sale?" "It does not. I need to go to a papeleria." I cross the plaza and go up the road to the paper shop and wait in a queue. It happens that this day has experienced a confluence with a certain time, which is Mother's Day, and the girl behind the counter is indicating her goodwill to the mothers of the customers by slowly and with infinite care gift wrapping each of their small purchased gifts. It takes a long time for the tape and the ribbon and the elegant curling of the ribbon. It takes a kind of time where minutes or hours could pass, for you have lost perspective. At last I reach the counter and buy the envelopes and return to the post office queue. Slowly, slowly, I approach the counter. The woman checks my addresses again.
Is your opener?
I experience a second, or it could be 2 seconds, or perhaps an eternity of dislocation. The moment, the past and the present, seems to be circling on itself, repeating, the hands on both clocks edge around. No, es the South Pacific. El Pacifico Sur. If I was to think about time zones now, I would black out, spontaneously combust, reach nirvana. Perhaps she's right, and I come from an imaginary land. Finally, though, she grudgingly concedes that such a place might exist.
Oh, but momentito. To send these envelopes, you need to seal the flaps down with glue.
Fine. Does the post office have glue for this purpose? No. How about that stapler 5 feet away from us on the desk? This stapler, senora, is not for customer use. And where can I buy glue?
Try the papeleria.
Time, my adjustments of it, my foolish belief that I could have conquered it, is sinking into meaninglessness as I retrace my steps to the paper shop. It's true, is it not, that the Zen masters would set their students endless tasks in order to focus the mind onto deeper visions and insights, transferring grains of sand from one pile to another, for example. Breathe. Get the glue. Back at the post office, you think that if she asks if the destination is Europe again, a hole will be rent in the time-space continuum, sucking all of you into oblivion. But no, you have the envelopes, you have the glue. You glue the flaps down industriously before her eyes and stick on the 14 stamps, each worth 2 pesos 30 centavos. Why don't they make stamps of larger denominations? Why don't they adjust the clocks? Why don't they stock envelopes? How long is a piece of string? Esperar, the word that means both to wait and to hope. Esperar. Say it and hear the whisper of breaths marking life, the hiss of wind shifting sand. What is the sound of one gringo waiting? First, my dear student, there is silence, a rather fuming, teeth-gritted silence involving the incorrect kind of breathing. This occurs when you read the registration slip you have been given after paying extra to register your mail and see that the word Austria is printed on it. Sit by the fountain for a few minutes and be silent. We must empty the mind of anger and frustration. We must make the mind like a clean, empty box, waiting humbly for what it might receive. Listen. Include strand by strand into this silence the noises of the moment, the incidental sounds of the world, a nearby radio playing jangly, irrepressible salsa, a distant church bell being rung for who knows what, 2 children laughing down the street, a taxi somewhere with a hole in the muffler. This is the sound of waiting, the sound of a velvety cocoon of time going about its business, the sound of a smile spreading. I am in Mexico, and I am in time, with all the time in the world. Floating in the now, now, now of the present, broken by chimes and music, but most of all by the heartbeat that whispers to me, here you are. This is your precious allocation of this. Be here in it. I am suspended in time like amber, moving through it, moment by surrendering moment. I am consciously breathing it. Time is immersing me. I'm having, come to think of it, the time of my life.
You've been been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.